All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this little cloudy, little cooler Saturday, September 3rd, 2016. Folks, we got a great story for you today. Great interview coming up. It's one of general insanity, really. A little bit of golf history, a little insanity, a couple of holes in ones and a couple of lost balls. And it's not only a little bit of golf history, but it's great that it's a part of golf history and it's a part of Long Island golf history. And being a show about golf on Long Island, I'm pleased to be joined now by Ryan Byrne and Greg Shaughnessy. Did I pronounce your names right, boys?
Yes, sir. You did.
All right. Nice. All right. So at least we're one for one. All right. Let's start with the, first of all, you guys are not from Long Island. You guys are sort of transplants here from Massachusetts. So we'll forgive the Boston fan stuff for right now. If I had known that early, I'm not sure we would have done this interview. But be that as it, we're already into it. Now, how did you guys end up here in Long Island?
Well, I guess that Ryan, I'll go first. Yeah. I'm second probably on Long Island to Ryan. My wife's from New Hyde Park.
All right.
We met up in the Boston area after she graduated college, and she had a job opportunity back in 2000 to come home, and she came home, and I followed. 16 years later, here we are.
Nice. Well, at least I know you have some good taste. That's good. How about you? How about you, Greg?
No, that was Greg.
Ryan, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, so Greg's been here 16 years. I've only been here 11, so a little over 11 years. I met my wife, who is from Long Island and Queens originally. Met her at Holy Cross, and then we eventually moved back here when we began having children.
Nice, nice. So tell us a little bit about this day. You know, it wasn't supposed to be you didn't think it was going to be such a great round. I mean, Greg, you were sort of struggling a little bit. You had a little bit of an injury, something about a splinter, and you just were having having a rough one, man, to begin with. I'm not sure what made you decide to just play golf anyway?
You know, to be honest with you, Ryan called the night before. He said, hey, let's play some golf in the morning. I had just gotten back from an extended vacation that we take up to Cape Cod and the Vineyard, and then I take my son up to Maine to see some family. And that's right, the last day before we came home, I jumped off a boat onto a dock up in Maine and got like a horrendous dock splinter in the bottom of my foot. And, did some home surgery, pulling that out, and it was kind of like an open wound a little bit, but, and sore. So I was hesitant to play. In addition to that, I was dealing with a little back problem from lifting up a six-year-old girl over the course of the last couple of weeks and tossing her around pools. So Ryan said, yeah, come out, stretch it, be good to walk. I said, all right. And I had a wedding that night at North Hills Country Club, actually, in Manhasset. And so I decided to play. First couple of holes were horrible, and so I stopped keeping score, and that's the lead in, I guess, to the walking up to the fifth.
Well, are either one of you members of Rockful Links, or were you joined by,
Ryan's a member.
Ryan's a member.
So I'm a member here, and we were playing with the group. Actually, kind of, there was a whole bunch of changes, but I was playing with Joe Alduino, and then brought Greg over.
Okay.
As a guest to play. Yeah.
Okay, so join
the most famous guest. Justin Rockville Links history.
You got that right. That's fantastic. So yeah, two members. So it's Joe Alduino and you, Greg. And so Ryan is the sort of joins the crew here. And
Greg joins the crew.
Excuse me. And you, it's hard to keep it straight here.
Yeah.
And it's early in the morning. So
yeah.
All right. So you're sort of you're struggling here. You know you're hurt. You're injured. You're self admitted a sort of high handicap. Take us through the fifth hole.
So we just finished up four, and as you walk by four, you can stop in the clubhouse and grab sandwiches and coffee. So we actually did that with my bacon, egg, and cheese, and we walked up to the fifth hole, and I think either Joe or Ryan went first. Joe went first, hit the green. Ryan was next. Nice shot, same thing. They were both probably within, 10, 15 feet of the cup apiece. And I proceeded proceed to take a bite out of my sandwich, put it on top of my coffee, my ball up, and, you know, I just swung away.
Yeah, but hold on. You're missing a whole bunch of stuff. Hold on.
Wait. First of all, let me just emphasize that I love the fact, forget about the hole in one. I love the fact that you're sort of just, you're sucking it up for the good of the game, right? You're struggling, but you're here. But I love the fact that you're like, everybody's hitting and you're just sitting on the side eating your bacon, egg, and cheese with salt, pepper, ketchup. And you're like, all right, it's my turn. And you just throw it back on the coffee and you're like, all right, let me go. You're wiping your hands from, you know, you probably got some Kaiser, you know, roll seeds on your hands, maybe a little cheese that's melted. And now you're ready to go. I love it.
Yeah, but you're also missing all the grunting and the moaning.
That usually makes me feel better.
From the bad back. You know, like the the whole early morning grunting and moaning of the soreness of the back, and then he goes and hits.
Right.
I
love it. I love it.
Yeah, and on that hole, you can actually see the pin. So it was one of those things. Ball was sky high. You know, actually looked, you know, felt good. You know, that was the first indication that I had a nice shot, and then it looked good. Hit
the, well, what was the club though?
7-iron.
7-iron from what?
135.
That's all right. Yep. It's good to be able to hit, you know, distances, different clubs, you know. It was a nice little chip 7-iron, all right. And
yep. I was trying to give a little more club, a little less torque on the back, right?
Right, yep. Exactly. You know, you're not feeling well, you got to swing easy.
And, yeah, I mean, it plugged next to the cup, you saw the little piece come up, and then the ball disappeared. And, you know, these two start yelling and thinking and hollering and high-fiving caddies, and I start chuckling. And as we walk up, Brian's pointing at the cup, and everyone's looking at the divot, and we take pictures and, you know, just giggling and laughing and all that fun stuff. And, you know, I'd never had one before. I'd come close, a couple birdies, hit a pin before in the past. And, you know, so it was a good feeling. It was a good feeling to be there with Ryan and Joe and, you know, have that memory.
Yeah, and forget that it's going to happen again, but I think it's great that you're able to see it. Like, I know it's a different story in the second one, but, you know, to get a hole-in-one and to actually see it where it's not over a ridge or over a sort of part of the green or over a bunker or something, like, to actually see it, it's kind of adds to the excitement, because when you can't see it, you don't know, so no one can react. But the fact that you guys, you know, you're good friends and you sort of were able to witness it, see it go down, and I'm sure it was sort of spontaneous. Everybody just starts going nuts. It's great that you were able to see it in your first time.
Yeah, and it was someone at one point was looking back to see if the group was coming up and we were taking too much time.
Right.
And it was like, forget it. Like, we're going to take as many pictures as we want.
Sure.
Like, a hole in one. Like, who cares? You
know? Right.
And at one point I actually said, well, this is never going to happen again. So we have to take as many pictures as we can.
Absolutely. I mean, at that point, you might as well be like a traffic cop on the green. Anybody wants to come through, please come through, pass through. Nothing to see here, just a hole in one. We're just going to be here a while.
I had contemplated stop playing for the rest of the day.
You're ready to go home, man. That's it. What else is there to see?
Exactly.
Well, certainly after the next shot, for sure.
So you don't do anything with the ball, all right? You don't pack it away. You don't write a hole in one with the date on it, Rockville Links, Joe Alduino, and your boy write their names on there. You don't do anything like that. You just throw it right back on the tee.
Yeah, not only that, it was a ball that was probably in my bag for a year or something. Had some grass stains, a couple months.
Yeah, sure. Show a little road rash,
yep.
On there.
A little cock path action once in a while. And, so then I joke. And it's funny because a good friend of mine, a buddy's wife, had picked up golf just this past year up in Mass. And she hit a hole in one this year. And you know, her husband's been playing forever. And she's just like, you know, she thinks it's the funniest thing. She said she immediately caught the ball, put it in her pocket. So I was thinking about that. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. It's a lucky ball. Let's keep playing.
Right.
That was the end of that. I hit it pretty good right, on that next shot and into the high festival, and you know, no one saw it again.
Somebody will find it someday, you know. But on that front,
funny enough, I get a text message or an email from a guy yesterday that says, "Hey, I saw your article in Golf Digest." He lives down in the Carolinas now. He goes, "My father still lives up there where I grew up. He walks along the sixth hole every day."
No.
I think he found your ball.
Get out of here.
Well, there's no way he could have found my ball, because if his dad's walking along the sixth, he's outside the fence on DeMott Avenue, and I didn't hit it to the left. I hit it to the right.
Oh,
That a guy surfaced, and I think I may call him just to get the story. Maybe he should hold the ball for ransom or something. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'd be interested to know what's on that ball, because I've hit many a ball on that road. It might be mine.
What kind? Yeah, right. What kind of ball was it?
It had a Ram on it or something. I don't even.
Ram, like, I love it. Old school, man. That's fantastic. So we know that you're not very sentimental, obviously, because you just put it on the tee and pumped it right out of bounds. So now, obviously, listen, we love golf because of, obviously, for the fun banter, just like we're having now. I mean, this could be a three ball walking down the fairway right now, not a radio show, and that's what we love about golf. So I have to imagine that, you know, you go from sort of, you know, moaning and groaning, and the saw. And I have to say that the whole probably environment changed after that hole in one. I mean, I would say the whole energy of the group probably had changed right after that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, these guys that are, you know, Ryan's a pretty competitive guy. I think I beat him the last time he took me by a stroke, and he didn't invite me back for a month. So.
Yeah, six weeks.
I'm glad Ryan. I love that Ryan doesn't hold a grudge. That's good. Go ahead.
Well, we are. You know, listen. We are assholes and live across the street from each other. We have to protect one another.
Yes.
So, and Joe obviously is, I would have to say, a much better golfer than the two of us. So, you know, yes, the tone changes. They're both excited. You know, but at the same token, they both now want to hit hole in one, right? So, you know, they're juicing their game up, and I'm still not even keeping score, you know?
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
There was still a lot of just general shock and shaking of heads, like every tee was coming up to it. Like we just couldn't believe it.
Right.
You know, like it was I think affecting us, because we just didn't know what to do. Like we couldn't believe that there was just a hole in one.
That's amazing. And there's got to be some, like, and that's just golf. I mean, so the guy. Let's just say the more challenged golfer is the one to get the hole in one. I mean, that's just golf. I mean, that's golf for you. I mean, I'm a relatively proficient golfer, and I don't have a hole in one. And I think that's just part of what it's like, one of those little jokes that golf plays on us, I think.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things that I always think about when I play golf is, you know, you got 18 holes, you got plenty of strokes to take it. But there's only a handful of strokes that feel good. You get a long putt, you make the up and down, you do something special, and that's the moment that brings you back the next time.
Yeah, sure.
You don't get frustrated with the lost balls or the, you know, the extra chunk in the sand trap or whatever you want, you know, whatever bad happens. You get one or two good shots, and that's the feeling you grab onto and you say, all right, I'll do this again.
So the mood changes immediately, and but yet the golf sort of stays the same in between now. And so take us through, like, sort of what's going on in between now until you get to your next par three.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan's, you know, making his shots. Joe's making his shots. You know, I'm seeing the whole course. We finally make up to, you know, I made a couple of decent putts, you know, just working on the small game, not taking out the driver or anything like that. And then we walk up to 10, and same thing. I think you guys went first, right, Ryan?
Joe went first. I went second. You went last. Again, same thing.
And Ryan, how pissed are you at this point? I mean, are you like generally? No. Have you been? I mean, I know you're happy for your buddy. I mean, let's not be. I know you're happy, but how pissed are you?
Well, we're both really happy. I have to admit, I think after the second one,
the first one wasn't bad.
The second one is very really dialed up. That kind of, hey, I'm really been happy for. You can't say that on the radio.
That's right. We'll beep it out. I'll beep it out. Don't worry.
But after the second one, and we'll take you through the second one. After the second one, it was shock, amazement. Like, we're making phone calls and doing the whole thing again.
And you didn't see the second one, right?
No, we can't see it going in the cup. But as we're walking through 11, he's kind of like, Joe and I are kind of looking at each other like, really? Like, another one? Like, we can't get anything? Like, we can't even get, like, one, like, an inch away from the cup, and this guy's got two? I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. You know, so, but, yeah, so anyway, I mean, it was, and I'll give you just a quick point of reference, because I do know this club a little bit more than Greg at this point, but on 10, it was a very, very unusual tee placement and pin placement.
All right, you know what, though, Rye?
You
teased us perfectly there. We're gonna get to that second hole one, but let me get to a quick bump here. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, talking with Ryan Byrne and Greg Shaughnessy, and we're talking about the epic back-to-back hole-in-ones at Rockville Links here on Long Island. And all right, so Ryan, were you setting us up here now? You're sort of setting the stage for – you're sort of generally – so at this point, Joe Alduino is in general shock. He's sort of kind of just laughing it off. You're more happy than mad. But then we come to the 10th. So let's, what do we got here?
Yeah, so just as a point of reference, so if it was club championship weekend, the second weekend of club championships here.
Okay.
So the tees were actually marked, right? So on the 5th, which we had seen earlier, the marking was 135 in the ground from tee to pin. On 10, highly unusual tee placement and pin placement.
What kind of par 3 is it? Like
uphill is elevated.
Okay.
It's an elevated green. I wouldn't say it's uphill. It's an elevated green.
Okay.
And the hole usually plays around 140.
Okay.
And the tees were moved way up. Now, Joe has been here a lot longer than I have. He said this is the first time I've ever seen the tees here. So the tees are way up. The marking on the tees, the measurement was 105.
Okay.
So you're talking 105, tee to pin. Pin is tucked in, front right. So it's surrounded by bunkers, a little bit of rough beyond the bunker, and then green. So, you know, between bunker and flag, you probably had 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the right again, 10 yards. Like, you have a very small area to drop this ball if you're dropping it on the flag.
Right.
But it's a good-sized green.
Right.
So, you know, 105, and I'll let Greg take it away. Joe, we saw his ball. He looks secure. I'm up. I'm secure. Greg's stepping up to the pin here, 105. Not much wind at all. And fires away. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, same thing. You see Joe's kind of kick just off the green, I think. You know, Ryan, you could see, was in the meaty part. And so I grab a 9-iron, same thing, trying not to do too much. Just make a good swing, make contact, not lose a ball. Getting sky high, thing goes up. And, dropped. And it dropped a little bit to the left of the pin, or at least, what you could see.
Right, right.
You could see the flag, but you couldn't see, you know, once you're halfway down the flag, you really couldn't see where it landed. So,
right.
Felt good. I said, all right, we should be on, make a putt. We'll be in good shape. We all stopped walking up. Everybody's talking. You know, with two caddies, um, one, one guy, longtime caddy, over 30 years. He's joking. He's never seen a hole-in-one before. What a great thing, blah, blah, blah. And so we walk up, and you see Joe kind of, you know, just off to the right, and Ryan's obviously clearly on, and, you know, my stroke tends to have a pretty good slice, so even if it comes down, it usually kicks right pretty good.
Right.
So we're looking, and, you know, these guys are like, well, let's look a little further into the rough, let's look a little further, you know, and we're all kind of messing around over to the right, and I said to myself, let me just take a little peek at the cup, just to giggle. And I start walking towards the cup, and you catch that glimpse of the ball as you're like, I'm still maybe 8 feet away from the cup, and these guys are like right next to me, so I immediately freeze, you know, and I look at those guys back, and I'm like, it's in the cup, you know, I want to make sure no one thinks I'm dropping one in the cup.
Right,
messing around.
Sure.
And the caddy kind of was like shadowing me, so he was close enough to when I said, he immediately looked at me and looked down, and he starts laughing, and I walked, you know, same routine goes down. I'm lying down next to the cup getting pictures, you know, everybody's doing high fives, you know, and people like, you know, I think Joe immediately started Googling the odds to see, what, you know, how is this even possible?
Joe wanted to call everybody in the world.
Like, he said, like, we have to stop right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, you got to call a media truck has to get here.
Yeah. He called the starter's desk, and he's like, we have to get a news truck here right now.
He's like, what do we do? This is the second time he calls the starter. What do? We just had another hole in one. The starter's reply. Go to the 11th, see up, and you know, continue play.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, this is like a half a golf round and half a photo shoot, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And we're only through 10, by the way.
Yeah, right. And the caddy said, I love that the caddy said... And it's I know that he's a great caddy when he automatically pulls up the line. I believe the line was we'll never see this again or something to that effect.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Mocking me. Yeah. Mocking me.
Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. So now I mean, it's just insanity. I mean, obviously, you know, Ryan, at this point, being a competitor, I understand you have to be pretty pissed at this point, although you're sort of happy, and Joe is just, well, he just wants to get on the media ride, and so he's scheduling you late night with Jimmy Fallon. He's calling
interviews. Yeah.
We got him, and that's great, though. That's fun, and that's great stuff, but I mean, it's just, I mean, how do you even react to that stuff?
You don't. It was like such a calming sense over me. I was just like, I can't even believe this happened. And I can't even believe it happens when I'm not keeping score.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It was absolutely shocking.
And being the sentimental person that you are, you put that ball on the tee and pumped that out of bounds.
Right off and fired it right off into the high grass. I'm trying to compensate that flight. And there it goes.
I love it.
And the funny thing is, like, he will actually line up, and you can see him lining up to hit it like a good 100 yards left.
Yeah, right.
Playing that slice. And of course, he hits it straight as an arrow, and it's gone.
Gone.
So, just gone.
That's...
I immediately started to think, why couldn't I be at one of the multiple, you know, fundraising tournaments or any of the other golf things you do when you step up to the hole in one hole, and there's either a, you know, the Trump outing, there's a Ferrari
That's golf. It's because it was meaningless. If you were at that hole where you win $1 million or a Ferrari, you would have hit the ball that you hit out of bounds.
Yeah, I would never even hit the green.
Right.
Yeah.
You would pump that one. You would hit that dead left. That shot that you have, the dreaded straight ball. That's what you would hit, and that's because that's golf. Because when something's on the line, that's it. It's when it's
exactly.
When you're just messing around with your buddies, or when you're not even really thinking about swing. First of all, you're not, you know, like you said, you're a higher handicapper. It's not like you're working on your game. You're there to have fun. You're just kind of, you know, messing around. And at that point, you're just trying not to hurt yourself. So, like you said, you're pulling a little more club. You're trying to swing a little easier. You're just trying to enjoy the day. You're not thinking about holes in one, score, swing, being on plane. You know, all this crazy nonsense that general golfers do.
Exactly, and especially when, you know, it's my, I think it was the second time out this season that I played.
I'm sorry, yeah. I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
Yeah, it was only the second time this season that I even played. I think the first time was the 6 weeks prior when I beat Ryan by one stroke, and then, yeah, then he invited me back.
Yeah. Let's keep bringing that up.
That's we haven't had a fight on air in a while, so we could keep it going. But seriously, at the end of the day, I mean, that's really, you can joke around, and you can be a little, you know, you can be throwing digs at each other, but at the end of the day, I mean, what a day of golf. I mean, you go back, you have a cocktail, and it's generally good fun and good laughs, and this memory, you know, these are the things that you can do in golf that you can't do in other sports. You can't, absolutely, you know, you can, yeah, you could play tennis for a while, but you're not talking and laughing while you're playing tennis. You're trying to beat the other person. If you're playing basketball, you're not talking and hanging out and eating a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. You're playing basketball. So this is a game where different, it's so unlike other sports that it's just like, it's sort of like you were playing golf and having a happy hour at the same time. Not the drinking part of it, but the fun and the good laughs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can be with guys of all abilities and still have fun. It doesn't matter if a guy's a scratch golfer or somebody like me who's just out there having fun. You know, it spans the ages, right? Spans everything. So it's a great sport. And like I said before, just to experience not only one but two of them in the same round and have it with one of my best friends to witness it and, you know, and all those types of things. It was a really cool and a really special day.
Greg, when you called your wife to tell her, what did she say?
I think her first response.
Remember, we're on air, so don't say exactly you said.
No, that wasn't the first response. Was not, what does that mean? Remember, what was it? It was before that. It was, what is your ETA?
Well, of course. Of course she wants to know when you're getting home.
And then actually, after the second one, her response was, we had a wedding that night for one of her good friends, but she said, let's forget the wedding, let's go to Atlantic City.
Oh, I like her. So she's ready to get on the train. She's ready to roll. She's like, let's keep this baby going.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mama needs a new pair of shoes. I love it. That's fantastic. Well, Greg and Ryan, I can't thank you guys enough, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this story. I think that I love that the fact that it happened on Long Island. I love the fact that you guys are such good friends, and although it wouldn't have made a difference, I think if you had been singles at a public course, I think you would have been friends forever after that anyway, but the fact that you guys are longtime friends who grew up near each other and have spent so much time together just makes it the story all the more richer, and you can sort of hear it in your voices and the sort of and in the banter. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming on the show and sharing this with us.
We want to thank you too for having us. It was a really great opportunity to talk to you and tell the story.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully the three of us will get a chance to tee it up since you guys are local here.
Anytime.
Maybe we'll have to have Joe Alduino on as the fourth. So it sounds like he seems to be a common denominator here. So we may have to have him just for safekeeping so one of us can get a hole in one.
100%, I agree.
He's the new best friend.
He's the new best. All right.
Good luck, Charm.
All right, boys. Thanks again, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, take care. All right. Bye-bye. We'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All All right, folks, welcome back to Juan Paul with Anthony Scorcia. That's about it. We got to get out of here. Enjoy your weekend and go see your local professional. You're listening to On Paul with Anthony Scorcia.